I got some Bible I want to share with you all this morning, and truly grateful and thankful to have the privilege. So let's go to 2 Timothy here. Sure. Second Timothy is really a very, very hard book. It's a real tearjerker. If you want to, I don't know if that's a real good way to put it, but it's a really sad book because it's Paul writing to a young man that he has worked with and trained. I have no idea how long, but it's been a long time. And he's at the end of his life. He's in jail, and he knows he's going to be executed pretty much any time now. So he's talking from the point of view of like a father talking to his child and ministering to him the things that he needs to do. 2 Timothy really doesn't have a whole lot about how to run the church, because the church, for the most part, has turned away from the Apostle Paul, and there are very few people being faithful anymore. And it is pretty sad. But obviously, it worked out because we're still here, right? It didn't get erased off the planet. You know, God is bigger than any situation, anything that's going on. He's bigger than whether his people stay faithful or not. He's bigger than it all. And his will is going to come to pass. But I wanted to take this and start reading here in chapter 1, verse 1 of 2 Timothy. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Well, he's the first line, I am a sent one of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And this is according to the promise of life, eternal life, which is in Christ Jesus. That's what you got to keep first and foremost in your heart and mind all the time, is the eternal life that we have. And it's this Timothy, my dear beloved son. The word son here is true child. And the, you know, it's a true child, my closest, a person who is not only like blood, not only like a real son, but also one that is faithful in dealing with me, faithful in carrying out what I desire, what I want. He's just his best man. He was his best man. He was his true child, someone who followed him faithfully. It says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's something I think that the church always needs to remember. You have God's grace, his divine favor. You always walk in his mercy. He has been so merciful to all of us. And you got peace. What are you worried about? You know, if you keep your head on the Lord, you keep your head in the Word, then you have the comfort that God has comforted us all with, no matter what our situation or a situation that goes on around us or within our households, our families, you know, whatever trouble that comes our way. You know, and like I said, this is a dire situation. You know, can you imagine Timothy getting this letter? You know, and Paul says, hey, this is according to the promise of eternal life, kid. And then he says to grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers, with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. He longed to see him. He desired to see him. And maybe he would never see him again. But he wanted to. And he prayed for Timothy night and day. When I call to remembrance, now he's going down memory lane here. He's thinking about Timothy. He's thinking about his life. He's thinking about the whole time he's been with him, probably since Acts chapter, if I remember, it's 19. I think he's mentioned the first time. You know, that's a few years back from this record. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelleth first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Two great faithful ladies. You know, it was a family thing, man. They brought each other. Mom and grandma had the faith, and young Timothy, you know, probably grew up in the house. Paul got to see it all, but Timothy stood out. Timothy stood out because he had that faith. He also had the boldness. He had the faithfulness to deal with what Paul was going through. And Paul was going through a lot. You know, Paul did not have an easy ministry. Paul had it was a tough, bare knuckles kind of life. Where he would go into towns, do great things, speak boldly, get beat up, get thrown out of town, spend time teaching, had other people, just like the Lord Jesus Christ, berating him and chasing him down. It wasn't, and yet Timothy, this young guy, you know, just like a Joshua to a Moses, just no matter what was going down, he was there with Paul. And he did exactly what Paul wanted. When Paul sent him off to some other city, he went. He faithfully carried out all the orders. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance, verse 6, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. It tells me that he was also a minister. He had a gift ministry in the body. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Paul's in jail, going to be executed. Timothy is basically on his own. And Paul says to him, and this is by revelation. This is really the Lord Jesus Christ talking to Timothy by way of Paul, but the heart's there. You know what? Don't be afraid. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. And that word fear there is cowardice. It's timidity. Fearfulness, but the word cowardice really kind of strikes me. He's going to be, now listen to this, he's going to be basically alone. The guy who's taught him his whole life's gone. Most of the people that they have ministered to, we're going to read here in a little while, they're all gone. It says, all they in Asia Minor be turned away from me. It's all gone. You know, isolation is not a cool thing. It makes cowards of people. It doesn't run well on your head, right? It doesn't. It doesn't run well on your head. If you're pretty much isolated, it's a hard fight to stay connected. It's a hard fight to feel like you're important and got something to do. These are hard things because we're social people, right? We work, we take care of folks, we minister to them, you know, moms cook dinner, family gets around the table, you have all this wonderful stuff, people get together in the church and so forth. We are people who are designed to work, serve, love, but it's all with people. It's all with people. The guys that went out in the mountains and, you know, the mountain men of old that wanted to get away from all people, we called them hermits. You know, these were not necessarily well-balanced folks. And to think that you can be really well-balanced, you have to fight. Even you can be alone in the middle of a crowd. People can be alone in the middle of a crowd. And I don't know why I thought about that. I got in this thing, but you have to choose to fight to control your mind and not buy into everything that comes your way. God had given this man a ministry. He has a gift ministry in the body. He has been a faithful follower of the Lord and a servant with Paul. He has really done some great things when you read the scriptures. Timothy's done some great things and showed himself really loyal, great believer. And yet, Paul says to him, listen, you know, verse 7, God hasn't given us the spirit of cowardice. That's what he's going to be tempted with. Fearfulness, cowardice, but he has given us power. That's dunamis. He's given you the inherent power within. And, you know, that power came with the Holy Spirit, right? You know, when Jesus Christ, just keep your little doodad there or whatever you want and go to Luke 24 for a second. And you get a good contrast here because if you think about it, the apostles, the disciples, the apostles before the day of Pentecost, they were with Jesus. And then all of a sudden, Jesus is taken away from them. And they all run for the hills. They didn't help him. They didn't stand up for him. They didn't chase the soldiers that took him. They didn't stand up for him and even take a punch. These guys just cut and run. Not exactly the bravest souls in the world. Peter denies him. He follows out of curiosity, see what's going to happen. But then when he's confronted, oh, you're one of his disciples. Nope. Peter denies him three times, six times, I'm not sure. You know, he curses, I don't know that man. I'm not one of his. Now, this is hours before Jesus is going to die. The church is in really great hands, isn't it? That's being facetious for those of you who don't know me very well. In other words, the training of the apostles and the disciples didn't seem to stick at all. If you're going to be, if you're the Lord Jesus Christ and your mission here is to have the word preached, to have people go out and witness, to have people stand for the living God, you failed. They're all gone. They're behind closed doors for fear of the Jews, it says in another section. They have seen him raised after his resurrection, and they still go back fishing. So the whole ministry thing is a failure. The whole bringing people up so that they can carry on the work is a failure at this point, isn't it? And there's no plan B. But Jesus knows that there's something coming. There's going to be a game changer for them. Because even the resurrected Christ was not enough to keep them faithful and to bring them back. They went back fishing. And he had appeared to them again and again and again. And then he says to them here in chapter 24 of Luke, he says to them in start reading here in verse 49. And behold, this is his last appearance to him before he's taken up, and the ascension, he's taken up into heaven and sits at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the last thing he says to them here in Luke. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. The word endued is clothed with. You're going to be clothed with. You know what it means to be clothed? No, you're not naked anymore. You're clothed with power. This dunamis power from on high. Go to Acts chapter 1. That power we know is the Holy Spirit that came on the day of Pentecost. Before, I think I can say this. These were tough guys. These were regular, wonderful, working, hard working guys, most of them. You had a religious zealot. You had a government, you know, overthrow the government kind of zealot among them. You had fishermen, which was the majority of what they were. You had one guy who was a lawyer. Another guy was a tax collector. He was basically a traitor to the government. All right, Matthew. He gets to write a gospel. Doesn't matter what the heck your leanings were. They all left him. You know, they all left him when that moment came of the crucifixion. And they were all had to be coaxed back many times by a resurrected Lord. And then in the final thing, he says, hey, I'm telling you, the promise of the Father's coming, and you're going to be clothed with power from on high. He's not giving this thing to the because they've proved their faithfulness, and because they're so wonderful, and because they're just like the top, the cream off the top of the people of the earth. This is going to be poured out on the guys who couldn't keep it together. On the guys who cut and run. This is going to be poured out on the men who can't possibly do this job without this intervention. Think about it that way. I know everybody got the halo thing working for Peter and you know, everybody elevates these guys. Look at what it says. You want this guy in a foxhole with you? They're just people. And all that they've learned, they still don't have the faith, the faithfulness, the whatever. Because it's not within man to do that on his own. It's not within any of us to stay faithful to God Almighty on our own. You want to try to do this intellectually? Sorry, don't think it's going to work. The only way you stay faithful is you have the Spirit of God. You got the inherent power of God. And then you got to choose to manifest it. You got to choose to manifest that power like they did on Pentecost. And they were changed individuals after that. There was no stopping these. There was no cowardice among them, no fear. They were completely, absolutely changed. And people don't change overnight like that. They don't change in short periods of time. People don't. He says to them in Acts chapter 1. I'd like to read that whole thing. And in verse 4 it says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem." This is the same record in Luke 24. "But wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard of me.' For John truly baptized with the water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence." And when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" They're looking for the kingdom to come. They don't know how long this is going to be. And he says to them, he answers them, and he says, "It's not for you to know the times of the season which the Father hath at his own power." I still don't know when the kingdom's coming, right? I don't know when the Lord's coming back. Could be today. I'll take it. Right now, it'd be good. But I don't know. But then he brings them back to what he wants to talk about here in verse 8. "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria unto the uttermost part of the earth." You shall receive power. You're going to lambano into evidence this inherent power, dunamis. You're going to lambano this dunamis. You got within you the inherent power of God. You have to choose to believe the word and utilize it. Because God has not given us the spirit of fear. I don't care if everybody is knocked off and you're the only one left to hold forth the word. You're going to feel lonely. You're going to feel like, just think of what you would feel. Be really honest. What do you think this young man feels like? Everybody wants to talk about feeling. Well, most of the feelings that I see in Scripture when I read these things, these are real people with real feelings, with real opportunities, just like the rest of us. Why would Timothy want to follow in Paul's footsteps? He's going to be killed. Oh, that ain't safe. There ain't nothing safe about Christianity. We've been blessed to live in a nation that's pretty free all my lifetime. During my lifetime, during that same lifetime, if you grew up in the Middle East and wanted to be Christian, you had the potential of losing your head. During that same lifetime, we sang one of those songs, "I Will Not Be Afraid." Well, this is before my lifetime, when China was being taken over by the communists, and they were killing all the teachers, and they were killing all the people who knew anything about the history of China, and they were killing all the people who were intellectuals because they wanted to bring in a new society. All right? The Christians were marching out, and missionary guys was literally walking with hundreds of thousands, I think, not all in the same group, but hundreds of thousands were marching down to escape the communists. And the missionary wrote that song, "I Will Not Be Afraid." It was a march. "I Will Not Be Afraid." That was, I guess, in the early 50s. Or maybe it was the late 40s. I'm not that much of a historian. I just know that being a Christian in a lot of other places is not a real blessing. And you know what? It might not be a blessing here going forward. For our grandchildren, I don't know what's going to come. And, I ain't a prophet. I just know that we've been blessed. We have been super blessed. We can worship God any which way we choose. We have had the privilege and the joy. Even this stupid thing that I'm talking into right now, this computer. I got 5 of us here. And I got 21 people online. And actually, there's more than that because there's more than one person on every phone. I get to preach the word and we get to be free. And they haven't shut this off yet. Who knows? You just have to be grateful for what we've had. You got to guard it. You got to watch over it. You got to love. You have to do what God wants. And Timothy, go back here. He's got all of this running through his head. Paul reminds him, you got the power. You got the spirit within you. You have this spirit manifested, walk in it, because that's the only thing. That's the tool that'll help you, that'll guide you, that'll get you out of the soup. Miracles really do change things. And the whole point is to be a witness for him here in Acts. This is the whole reason that Jesus poured out this thing. God gave it. The whole reason that he sent us to do what he's done is to hold forth this word. And if we crap out on that, God help us. What is the point? If we just, I'm behind closed doors. For fear of whatever. The virus is just the thing on the top of the list. At the moment, I've got fear of the guys in the neighborhood. Just think of, make it personal. Situations, circumstances change, but the word of God don't change. The mission don't change. No matter what happens in this life, I still take care of my family, right? I still take care of my wife. Still take care of my children. They're stronger. Better, achieved more than I have in my life, and yet I still have a heart to care for them. So, God has not given us the spirit of cowardice, but the opposite. He's given us this power. He's given us love, agape. He has poured out the love of God into our hearts. The love of God is poured. And you know what that love is? God so loved the world that he gave. God so agape'd the world that he gave. That is what love is. Love is giving. Love is involvement. Love. It's like I said before. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. You're going to take care of the ones you love. And God is told us that we're to love this world and give them his word. Obey God and give him his word. Love is the most, I think it says in Corinthians 13, it never fails. And then have a sound mind. He's given us a sound mind. Sound mind is just a simple Greek word. It says sophronimos. Sophronimos. And it just means to have a soundness of mind, self-control. Now, do you think Timothy's going to need this in this situation? You got to control your thinking. You got to be deliberate, right? Be not therefore ashamed, he says in verse 8. Don't be ashamed. This is what happened to the first century church. The whole church was tempted. The adversary worked this around, and he worked people's heads. Paul got arrested. Paul was the main man moving the word. Paul was the one who's getting the revelation. Paul gets himself arrested. Now, you would think he would be the champion in the people's minds, right? But no, you know what happens? Just like the same thing that happens to the cops, to the soldiers. When 9/11 happened and I knew Michael was going to go and get called up to active duty, I said to him, you know what, Mike, everybody will applaud now. I said, but sooner or later, they'll spit on you. I mean, we've seen this happen, right? Same thing happened. The cops, they were our heroes, and the firefighters, our heroes. And now, let's get rid of them. Bunch of racists. Societies fluctuate in what they think about you. Same thing for preachers. Same thing for everybody. Don't be ashamed. You're looking at the whole package here. Don't be ashamed of me, Timothy, because that's what happened to the church. They got tricked into being ashamed of Paul and his chains. We're going to read this here in a minute. And then if you're ashamed of the person who's taught you the word, then guess what? You can justify being ashamed of the word that you've been taught. And especially if you think it's going to get you in trouble. Especially if you think, you know, like, this is not really a good idea to be proud of the gospel. I could lose my job. I could get canceled. You know, that's what they call it today, right? I could get canceled. Well, yeah, remember what all this is about, eternal life. That is really worth getting canceled. So he says to Timothy, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of the testimony. Can you imagine having your best man and you have to remind him? This is the best man you've ever had working with you. And don't be tempted, Timothy. Don't allow this to go on. Because you know what? It's real possible. But be a partaker with me. Do it the way I've done it. Partake with me. According to the power of God. Be a part of those same afflictions. Carry it out. Do it. Who hath saved us? See, God is the one who saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to the works, but according to his own purpose. And grace, which he hath given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God is the one who has done all of these things. He is the one who has saved us. He is the one that has called us. He is the one that's done this according to his purpose. Remember, he wants a family for eternity. This is what he wants. And this is all he's looking for. And he's crying out in the scriptures all the time, be faithful, stay faithful, do this for me. do what I was reworking an article I did a long time ago on obedience. God requires obedience. Why? It's for our benefit. That's what he says in Deuteronomy. Keep my commandments for your good. But is now made manifest, verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and had brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. God has saved us. He has brought this about through Jesus Christ so that we could have eternity. And it's all been brought about through this gospel that people are becoming ashamed of. See, this is nothing new. I've been talking about this for years, right? Because the whole world has turned much more humanist, secularist against God and against his word. So, I don't know where we started with this thing, but let's stop praying, in schools. Let's get God out of our society. Let's make sure that, all of the institutions of Scripture, like husband and wife, marriage, let's screw that up. Let's put a little, let's just take it away. All right, it's not just between a man and a woman anymore. The same thing with how important is life? Well, can't be that important. Get rid of it anytime you want. Talking about abortion. I mean, it's not a birth control method. It's a person. They'll change the rules, they change the society, they break down the institutions of all kinds of different things, and it's happened over 20 years or more. This is not just overnight. You get thrown into a pot, the old boiling frog thing. It's nice and warm, you turn the pot on, the frog's sitting there in the water, it's nice and warm, it's cool. Now it's like it's a bath. And before he knows it, he's dead. It's brought to a boil, but he never jumped out. Because it just gradually went that way. The same thing happened in the church. The same thing happened. They didn't start out this way. It didn't happen overnight. These things happened over time. Our God has given us his word. He's given us the promise of eternal life. He's saved us through this gospel. See, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, says in Romans. Verse 12 here it says, for the which cause I also suffer. Verse 11, wherefore I am appointed a preacher and an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause I also suffer. The reason he was suffering, the reason he was arrested, was because he was preaching the gospel. I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I am not ashamed. Denise used to sing this beautiful song for me. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Got to look it up sometime again. But DeMars, I think was her name, sang it first time I heard. A great song. But I am not ashamed. I don't care what you call me. I don't care how you cancel me. I don't care. God will provide. I got the power of God within me. If he don't take care of our lives, then you're just dead people walking. You're just like Peter and James and John and the others before they got the Spirit. Just get pushed around. For I know whom I have believed. Yahweh is my Father. Jesus Christ is his Son. Jesus died to please the Father, to save us. I owe him everything. And I am so proud of my Lord. I wish I was a better believer, but I am so proud of him, and I am so grateful and thankful to my Father for what he's done. And I love to tell people about it. And then they say, oh, I don't want none of that. Richie was just telling me he was down doing a job, and he'd mentioned something about God in his conversations. No, I don't want none of that. That's not true. That Bible stuff, get it out of here. You know what? Okay. Go talk to somebody else. Jesus Christ said, wipe the dust off your feet and go speak the word. Somebody else out there want it. Says here in verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words. Hold it fast, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Hold fast the word that you've been taught. That what good thing? And that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit which dwelleth in us. The calling you got, you keep it. And the only way you're going to keep it is by doing it with the Spirit of God within you. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia, Asia Minor, this is where Paul spent the great majority of his life holding forth the word. He spent 18 years around Antioch. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia, that includes Ephesus, that includes Galatia, Ephesus, all they in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord have mercy on the house of Osophrius, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. He wasn't ashamed that I was chained up in jail. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. What a guy. This is not exactly an exciting teaching for Timothy, is it? Put yourself in Timothy's shoes. I want you to partake of the same sufferings I'm taking now. This is the road. This is the way it looks. And you know what? I don't know what happened to Timothy. I don't know. The scriptures don't tell us. But I know this, if he followed the same path that Paul was following, it was a tough road. And if he quit, God help him. I just don't know. Got no reason to believe he quit, but it doesn't say. Look at Acts chapter 19. When Paul said, all they in Asia Minor be turned away from me. Acts chapter 19, verse 2. This is where the great mystery was taught. It says in Acts chapter 19, this is the way it started. You know, just because things are going really good and start not really good doesn't mean they end really well. Apollos was up there. Verse 10, it says, and this continued by the space of 2 years. so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Everyone, not everybody believed in Asia, but every single soul in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. They started out with 12 men that got witnessed to by Apollos, who water baptized them. They didn't even know about the Spirit. Paul just starts declaring it to them. He starts declaring it to these 12 guys when he walks into Ephesus. 12 guys, a fellowship size. And in 2 years and 3 months, the word of God so moved that every single soul, it says here, in Asia, heard the word. Doesn't say they all believed it, but they heard it. You know what the impact of this church could be? Same. Every other church could be the same. If you walk by the Spirit of the Almighty God, if you keep the calling that we're called to do, there's no difference. God is not a respecter of persons. Look at verse a little later on here. Let's see. Wrote it down, I think. Yeah. I got to go back to Timothy. I think that's where I wrote it. Probably would be easier just to read the chapter, but 2 Timothy is my note. Yep, it's Acts 19:20 is the verse I wanted to read. After they spent their time, God gave them special miracles. The word, the revelation was immense. It says in verse 20, so mightily grew the word of God and it prevailed. It didn't just get moved, it prevailed. You know, they brought out all their spiritualist things and they burnt them. God's word prevail. It's not prevailing today. Okay? It's in the decline in our society today and around here. Anyhow, maybe it's doing great in the middle of Kentucky. I don't know. But it ain't doing so hot here where I live. It might be doing just fine in Texas, but it ain't doing so good here. And I'm just living here. This is our church here. Some of you are in Florida and other places, but most of you are right around here and see the same things I see. When the word prevails, institutions are changed towards God. Devilishness is rebuked. And society changes for the better in a lot of ways. But we just have to stay faithful. We have to take that same charge, no matter how bleak something might look at a certain period of time. And whatever you choose to look at is what you kind of end up looking at, right? If you listen to everybody on the news, the whole world's coming to an end. Well, I'm telling you, it ain't. But you feed on it long enough, you start to believe it. And it's not true. People aren't out, the vast majority of people don't hate each other out there. The vast majority of the people don't hate the cops. The vast majority of the people don't hate the country. The vast majority of the people are fairly stable in their attitude, you know. But, and believers, I think, for the most part, really want to do the things of God. But But if you listen to, you can't. Don't do that. Then guess what? It puts the doubt in your mind. It starts to wear on you. It's wearing on me. And that's why I read this for myself. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us power, love, sound mind. And you know why we're doing this? You know why it's worth it? Do you know why, like it says here in that first verse of 1 Timothy we read? Because this is about eternity. The whole thing's about eternity. I'm 68, I think. Going to be 69 soon. And it's about eternity. I got less years in front of me than I have behind me. It's okay. It's the way it goes. But I have, if I keep my eyes on eternity, I have. This is nothing compared to what's coming. And that changes everything in your perspective. So that's what I wanted to share with you all today. I love you all very much. Very grateful for your lives. And have a word of prayer. So, Father, thank you for your love and goodness, your great grace, your tender mercies. Thank you, Father, for giving us power in our lives to manifest. Thank you, my Lord, that we don't turn our backs on it. I ask you, Father, that you help us to learn to manifest it properly and correctly. Thank you, my God, for the empowerment that it gives us in our hearts and minds, the stability, Father, not to succumb to the world and to all of its stuff, no matter what it is. And I'm so grateful for what you've done, Father, in the gospel. We know whom we have believed, and we are persuaded that you are able to keep that which we have committed unto you against that day. We praise you and love you, and we ask you for your blessing and your healing wholeness on all. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.